What's better than this, guys? Being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino, Kyle Krabs, and Chris Shuby Schubert from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this live episode of Draft Dudes. It's Would You Rather Thursday, so we want your fun scenarios to address here on the podcast.
You nailed the day, the week, and everything. We're off to a roaring start.
I'm locked in, man. You know. I know what day it is. After this week, maybe not.
But well, Senior Bowl next week, so
it is
just Senior Bowl day. That's all it is. Surratt
Brothers. That was the big mystery. Chaz and Sage. They're Senior Bowl bound. Good for them.
That's a payoff from a bit from the show that is in the timeline in the feeds this morning, right?
For Sage, I think this is really good because he didn't play this year. The last time we saw him, he got injured in 2019. Mm-hmm. And the Wake offense was different without him. And so I think having some new exposure to Sage will be very good.
And I believe he's going to the team that actually needs wide receivers. So
Miami Dolphins.
Yes. I think I think Jim Nagy went on Joe Rowe show on WQAM 560 in South Florida and said that both of the players they were unveiling today were going to be on the Dolphins roster.
I think cherry lime is the best flavor,
man. Watermelon mint.
It's underrated, right?
It's up there.
Yeah.
Okay. It's definitely up there.
How we doing, Shub? Got your Under Armour hoodie there. What's on your hat? Is that Diamondbacks? What do we got here?
We're doing okay. Yeah. No, it's an Adidas hat. I'm wearing an Adidas hat and an Under Armour sweatshirt. Please don't come at me in the comments.
Oh, man.
Well, hey, if somebody
can't do that. You got to take one of them off.
Come sponsor the pod and we'll.
No,
we'll
I'm not.
I'm wear the attire of whoever does.
Yeah.
I would not step out in public. I have a hard time stepping out in public with like different logos on different layers, levels of my attire. Can't do it. I won't do it. Chris, I won't do it.
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know who was asking. I don't know who was asking, but you know, here we are. All right. Are you guys ready to play some Would You Rather here on a Thursday?
Yes.
Can I have the first one? Can I introduce the first Would You Rather?
Oh, he has one. This is...
No, go ahead, Joe.
Go ahead.
If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, would you rather your week one starting quarterback in the year 2021 be Ben Roethlisberger, Dwayne Haskins, or Mason Rudolph?
Ben?
Really?
At least he's won.
Had an arm?
At least he's won.
All right.
Yeah.
Sam said he'd rather stop watching.
This is my answer. This is my answer.
Take the year off.
Fact or fiction, one of those three men will be the starting quarterback for the Steelers in week one.
It's going to be Ben. Yeah, it's fact.
Okay. All right.
A late entry from Braden. I'd rather run the Wildcat.
But they're losing their starting running back, too. So.
With Anthony McFarland. Run Wildcat with McFarland.
Okay, I don't hate it.
All right, guys. We got a lot of wide receiver-related takes. Probably good.
Coming off the pod today.
The wide receiver show that we did on Thursday morning. So we'll start with this one from Ben. Would you rather, if you're Dallas, trade Gallup and draft one of the big three running backs or big three wide receivers at 10 or sign Gallup to $15 million a year?
Joe?
I think neither, right? So I don't think those should be the two options. I think they should probably look to trade Gallup now to get something in return from him, but invest that pick in something else, right? I mean, they need help on that defense, and I think they're going to have a chance to get Caleb Farley or Patrick Surtain at cornerback, and that's the route I would be thinking.
Yeah, unless one of these top 10 caliber wide receivers can also play corner, that Dallas needs help on the defensive side of the ball in a bad, bad, bad way. And, you know, Andy Dalton got to the point towards the end of the season where they were effectively moving the ball with him. You figured Dak coming back. Dalton Schultz wasn't bad as a receiving tight end in 2020 for the Cowboys. You got, you know, some horses to get the run game going a little bit, and you don't need three stud wide receivers. So I'm selling on both of those and I'm all the way out.
I think you could still address receiver, but I think third, fourth, right, round, you could probably get a meaningful wide receiver three. You know, you've got Lamb, you've got Cooper. So
Daz Newsome.
Yeah, Daz Newsome should be that guy for like every team.
Yes.
With you. All right. This is a take from Vontel, non-sports related.
Oh, boy.
If you're single and in the prime of your life, would you rather
never
live
had
in
that combination? So.
It's true. Would you, yes.
Would you rather live in Miami, LA, Houston, New York, or Atlanta?
Goodness gracious, this is so outside of my wheelhouse.
Which one has the lower income tax? That's the one I'll be in.
Miami, right? Isn't it income free or income
it's,
tax?
It's got to be state Florida or Texas.
In Miami is zero. So
I think I have to go process of elimination here. Can you put those back up? I got to be able to see them.
Sorry.
Right. Los Angeles, I'm not a fit. I'm not a fit. New York, I'm not a fit.
Too busy.
I got
Miami, Houston, and Atlanta. I really like Atlanta. I love visiting Atlanta. Miami, I've only been one time. Kyle, would I mesh with Miami, or is that's out of my wheelhouse?
You don't like the beach, so no.
Oh, yeah, it's got to go. So Houston or Atlanta?
What? You live in North Carolina, don't you? It's like the mecca of beaches.
No, Chris, I'm going to pretend you didn't call freaking North Carolina the mecca of beaches.
Well, I'm not going to defend North Carolina, but I think like Myrtle Beach and Charleston are like two of the most visited places in the United States.
Because you get the whole East Coast. It's in the middle. It's nothing to do with the quality of the beach.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to debate the quality of the beach. Yeah. They're low quality beaches compared to where I've been in Florida. Right. It's not comparable, but I think from a visitor perspective, I think Houston or Atlanta, right? I don't know which one's.
I think you'd vibe with Houston, Joe.
I think so too.
I think that beard would fit in Houston.
Oh yeah.
So to get the Texas country music scene.
Can you give me a country music line right now?
No, dude.
Just one.
I don't know. I'm not good on the spot.
Wind hold 'em.
A little Kenny Rogers there. I hear you, brother.
No wind hold 'em.
Did you have an answer here? I'm sorry.
Miami.
Because of the fish, the Miami Dolphins?
They're mammals, jackass. Chris, next take. Let's get back on football here.
This one from Sam. Would you rather trade for Teddy Bridgewater, sign Andy Dalton, sign Jameis Winston, or draft Trey Lance?
I have my answer.
So you're the Houston Texans, basically, in this scenario, after trading Deshaun Watson.
Do you see the report from Aaron Wilson today?
I did see this report, yes.
Joe, did you see this?
No, I've been with a baby all day. So.
It was pretty much like a punch list of like all the teams that would be interested in like what assets they perceive. And it was like clear as freaking day. Somebody in the Houston front office talked to Aaron and was like, all right, we're going to try and get any semblance of leverage whatsoever in any trade negotiations that take place. So tell Carolina we would need multiple ones plus Christian McCaffrey. Tell the Dolphins that they don't view Tua as a viable replacement for Deshaun Watson, which no shit. Anybody who has a viable replacement quarterback for Deshaun Watson isn't trying to trade for Deshaun Watson.
Right.
So it was like, hey, Miami, you can't give us 2 1s and 2 0. You'd have to still give us 3 1s, which is what we want. So it was just really interesting to read kind of from my perspective. It came across as like this leverage play from Houston, like kind of giving messaging to the teams that are calling like, hey, here's what we think of what probably your preliminary feelers gave us the impression you were willing to offer.
So do you have an answer here for this one that you would
want? Trey Lance.
Yeah, same, because I don't know what Trey Lance is.
Right. I know enough about the other three to know that I'm not going to have a real high ceiling long-term with any of the three.
Amen. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're all excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people, and with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com.
Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. So whether you're looking for a healthy snack, a breakfast on the go, something post-workout, or just like delicious things, Built Bar can fill the void for you. And best of all, Built Bar doesn't just taste good, it blows the nutritional facts of your typical protein bar out of the water. It's got 200 calories per bar or less, up to 20 grams of protein per bar, 18 delicious flavors to choose from, and 1/7 the grams of carbs and sugar of your typical protein bar. So if you're looking for a change up in your diet, visit BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you can save 20% off your next order of Built Bar. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON to save 20%, and find out what all the fuss is about for yourself.
All right, I got another one here for you. This is another quarterback-related one. Good. From House Money Ant. If you were Chris Ballard, would you rather trade for Matt Stafford or Sam Darnold?
I'm sending my one for Stafford right now, no questions asked.
Yeah, so what's the piece of this that we don't know? Because Stafford's the better quarterback. Right. So if it's like a considerably more compensation that would make me think about Darnold, that would be it, because Stafford's a guy I'd want. I think you can win with Stafford.
Right. And I guess the appeal for Sam is shelf life, but I get Stafford under contract for longer. I don't have to worry about guarantees with Stafford's contract because I'm trading for him.
Yep.
Like, it's a home run. You trade for Stafford and you got, especially with the rest of their roster.
Right. And that coaching staff. I know they're losing Sirianni, but still Frank Reich's there.
You've got like a 5-year Super Bowl winning window.
All right. This one from Morgan. Would you rather have 2 first-round picks or 4 second-round picks in this upcoming draft?
I hate you for asking this question.
I think this is, Morgan, this is a very good would you rather, by the way. This is very good.
Every team might have a different answer to this. I lean in a vacuum the 4 second-round picks.
So Joe, can I interject here? If you are a team, because I think you're onto something. If you're a team that is in a Super Bowl window, you probably want the 2 firsts because those guys are probably more NFL ready. If you're a team that is very much in roster building mode, a la Jacksonville, New York, Houston, teams like that, you probably want the 4 seconds because you can still get quality talent, but you can get more guys to fill out your roster. Is that the theory?
Yes and no. I mean, if I'm the Jets, I would rather have 2 and 23.
They have 2 and 23. Yes.
I'd rather have 2 and 23 than 35, 41, 50, and 59. So I, you know what I mean? Like I would need to know where those 2 first-round picks were and where those 4 second-round picks were and what team. I hate to be that guy. I really do.
So Joe, assume it would be like 5 and 20 or 33, 45, 50, and 64.
I think I'd rather have 5 and 20.
In this class?
Yeah, because at 5, I still think I'm going to get...
Penei Sewell? Yeah. I don't know. There's 3 separate spots in the first round that I feel like are kind of like dead areas where I feel good about what I would get if I wasn't picking... If I was picking 10 spots later, I'd be getting a comparable player.
I don't disagree. So, I think if you have 3 quarterbacks in the top 5, it's going to push a player to you that's really good.
Yeah, you'll get a really good player that in a normal year has no business going at 5 if you pick at 5. But this class is really deep. And I'll say this, the class got hurt a little bit by guys who chose to go back to school, right? And that was never more apparent than doing TDN mock draft machine simulations. And seeing like the names that you were used to seeing at like 36 or 40 or 45, a lot of those guys went back, and guys that were supposed to go earlier went back. So now it's kind of this waterfall and domino effect. I still think I'd rather have the 4.42s.
All right. I think one that's going to put you guys in a similar spot. This one comes from Jared. Would you rather Jalen Waddle and Rashawn Slater or Penei Sewell and Ja'Marr Chase for Miami?
Go ahead. I think it's Sewell and Chase. I think Sewell's the better tackle. And I think, I mean, I love Waddle, but I really love Chase. I think it's a better wide receiver and better offensive tackle.
They're better, but when you look at the Dolphins situation, I think there's a stronger case to be made for the other two. There's a chemistry with Tua and the Alabama wide receivers, of course. We've seen, I don't think Ja'Marr Chase is just a win at the top of the route and contested catch guy, but Jaylen Waddle gives you a lot of the short area throws and more run after catch explosiveness. And I think he's a lot bit better vertically than what Ja'Marr Chase is for separation purposes. And you think about the Dolphins offensive line, and they invested two top 40 picks and three draft picks total in the offensive line. And Rashawn Slater being a guy that can play all five spots, I think gives them optimal flexibility. Whereas Penei Sewell, you're drafting him, he's playing the play side tackle for Tua as a left-handed quarterback. I kind of find the appeal in the first group more.
Hey, Joe.
Give it to
me. Do you want me to put the negativity out in the world? Okay, because you're my friend, and I wouldn't do it unless you wanted me to. Okay,
this one. I was hoping you'd give it to me.
This one from Halil's Real Football Talk. For Joe, would you rather have the Bills lose this Sunday at Kansas City or go to the Super Bowl but lose to Tom Brady? And I just want to make it clear, Joe, I did not want to put this up because I didn't want to put it out there that the Bills could lose.
I'm a Bills fan. Everybody knows that. This is would you rather. I mean, this is exactly what we should be, you know, interested in addressing. And to me, I think this is very obvious. I would much rather go to the Super Bowl and lose to Tom Brady. And I think whenever you're a team like the Bills that had a 17-year playoff drought, Coach McDermott comes in 2017 and really turned things around. You validation means a lot. And I think the Bills have done a really good job this year of kind of leaving no doubt about a lot of things. The 13-3 regular season, 501 points scored. I mean, I think their last six games they won by more than two scores, right? So you feel very validated with that. You feel very validated by winning two playoff games. I think you would continue to feel very validated by knocking off the Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, even if that means losing in the Super Bowl. That would suck, right? But, I mean, you want to go as far as you can. And so losing to Brady in the Super Bowl is like nightmare stuff for sure. But you're not going to – you don't – people aren't talking about the Titans and how they lost to the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game last year, right? Nobody cares if you lose in the AFC Championship game. You lose in the Super Bowl, at least it's something more. So I think it's quite clearly the Super Bowl.
You still get a banner and a trophy for winning the AFC. Yeah, it's not the one you play for, but right. You still get a banner and a trophy.
Why didn't I? Could I have just made it that simple? Christ,
I you were about that. Halfway through, and I'm like, okay, Joe? Yeah, I got mine.
I think you guys know me by now. I love getting into the weeds on cap stuff and roster construction. So I think this one from Sam, and hopefully, Sam, I picked a good take from you here on this show. Would you rather try to fix Philly's cap situation or New Orleans' cap situation?
I got
to
go.
I have the numbers for you if you guys want them for next year. Do you guys want to know what you're dealing with?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I know New Orleans is like negative $80 million, but go ahead.
So I have in front of me everybody's effective salary cap space on overthecap.com. So if you don't like these numbers, you don't think they're correct, take it up with them, not me. The Saints are minus $101.4 million for next season, and the Eagles are minus $53.5 million effective for next season. So you guys have fun with that. I'm going to take this takedown and look for the next one.
I have my answer, Kyle.
I'm going to take the one that's half as big as the other one, personally. Is that correct?
I'd pick New Orleans.
How are you fixing that?
It's $101 million.
I'm not fixing it.
I'm not going to.
Right. I'm not fixing either one of these things. Go ahead.
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
That's been the mantra of the New Orleans Saints front office year in and year out.
I'm going to take the stability of the franchise route here. And knowing that it's probably not going to happen this year for either team. But what the Saints have in terms of Sean Payton, established coordinators, they don't have Howie Roseman there. You know, you don't have all these weird guessing about who has whose ear and who's forcing decisions to be made and the way that we feel about Doug Peterson and what happened there. I would not want to align myself with that if I didn't have to. So give me the more challenging situation that I think in 2 years might be a better spot to be than the one with less to get out of.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You're negative $101 million in the hole.
Yeah.
who's the first player you're trading, because you're going to have to lop some salary off here. What are you trading Marshawn Lattimore for?
Two first-round picks. I'm getting the Jalen Ramsey deal there.
Okay, I like that. Now,
so all right, Joe, that trade got you $10 million. Only 90 more to go. Okay.
Malcolm Jenkins, we gotta go.
Malcolm Jenkins. Let me see what his cap hit is.
Yeah, you know what? I gotta look at it too.
I gotta say goodbye to.
All right, that saved you 1.7 against the cap and added 6.7 in dead money. So that was a great trade from you there, GM Joe. That saves you 1.2 against the cap if you trade him, and $10 million in dead money if you do it pre-June 1.
Right. We're going to have – this is going to be sad, but next year it's going to be better.
How much dead cap are you going to carry is the million?
Because you're carrying a lot right now, Joe.
I have no expectations. I just need to get through. I'm just trying to get by in 2021.
So the names that immediately jump to mind in terms of guys that have no dead money are Lattimore, Ramczyk, and Quan Alexander.
Quan's got to go.
You can cut those guys, no money against the cap, and you save double.
Ramczyk is staying.
No, you better trade Ryan Ramczyk because that's $11 million, dude.
Well, Quan's 13 if you just tell him to go away.
Then I got to get find a right tackle. I got one of the best right tackles in the game in Ramczyk.
Well, you got a really good offensive line from left to right, and you don't need five Hall of Famers on that line. Well, I'm trying to get picks. You got to get under the cap.
Can I make anything back by cutting Taysom Hill?
$5 million.
Yeah, it's $5 million if you cut him pre. It's $5 million if you cut him post. Yeah.
How many?
Joe, I'd like to give you an opportunity to change your answer to the right answer in this regard, which is the Eagles, which is $50 million cheaper.
The only way you're getting this done is restructuring all the contracts, and you're going to be in this situation again in two more years.
Well, the good news is that Mickey Loomis has a whole lot more than 30 seconds to come up with his plan on the live podcast. You know what I mean?
You were just so unequivocal. Like, I've got the answer already. So I thought maybe you put some thought to it.
I don't want to align myself with organizations like the Philadelphia Eagles that have people like Howie Roseman destroying things. Are we ready for some football? The NFL playoffs are in full swing and it's conference championship weekend. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up for a free account today at betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. If you like a particular team's chances this weekend or you want to take advantage of some prop bets, check out betonline.ag because they have the best lines in the business. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, we got so in the weeds there. I did not have another take up here for another Would You Rather here for us. So let me scroll through here.
That's killing me.
Fontel, you've put this one up a couple of times. We'll go there.
All right.
Which duo do you trust to get you more wins in a two-season stretch? Andy Reid is your head coach, but Nathan Peterman is your starting quarterback?
This is a good one.
Or Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, but Hugh Jackson as your head coach?
The guy who's actually on the field.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers and Hugh Jackson. Players make coaches look better sometimes, right? Like, did Bill Belichick forget how to coach this year? Did just every trick he had up his sleeve just didn't work anymore? Or did he just not have Tom Brady anymore?
I have a whole podcast devoted to Joe's plan to fixing the Saints. I think maybe we should put that in.
Yeah, you want
to
do that for tomorrow or for Monday?
We maybe should do that for next week. And Joe will give you all the weekend to think about it.
Yeah, just study up a little bit, you know.
Thanks.
We actually, Joe, I'm not aware if you know this or not, but we did you a favor this weekend.
Thank you.
You know what Monday was supposed to be?
Was it my mock draft?
It was supposed to be your mock draft. Oh, well, it's not.
One, didn't I? Like, I did the last one in week 17.
Brother, yeah, that's because we were off schedule from the one prior. We had to reshuffle.
Okay.
Well, we did you solid.
We're going to be a little busy on Sunday night, you know?
Yeah, we did you solid. You don't have to worry about writing a mock draft during the conference championship weekend.
Wow. How sweet.
This one from Braden. It's very timely after what occurred today. Would you rather have to watch Dan Campbell's press conference on a loop for an entire week or Bill Belichick press conferences on loop for an entire week?
Well, you know, Joe does it better than I do. Wow.
Dan Campbell, just a really tough player and really dynamic. And
we just got to be better. They were just better than us today.
Coached better.
We're on to Cincinnati.
At least I could sleep to that, right?
Right. I think I picked Dan, though. Dan's getting slammed.
Why? That was fun.
For being Joe Judge, like, to the umpteenth degree. For being, like, super old school hardo. But, like, if you know anything about Dan Campbell, that's exactly who he's going to be.
Right. Can I tell you something? It felt authentic.
That's who Dan is. Absolutely. Right?
Like, you cannot like it, and you can say that's not for me, but it felt authentic.
I am too tainted by Rex Ryan to buy into it.
You are. Me too.
Well, they're not going to be good. Like, they're going to be the most fun and hard-nosed and gritty 3-13 football team in the history of the NFL. But they're going to be a 3-13 football team.
Maybe Bruce Arians doesn't count, but I was thinking Matt LaFleur, Sean McDermott, Andy Reid. Are any of those guys going to win the press conference? Bruce Arians probably will.
Yeah, BA's. Yeah.
Did Kevin Stefanski win the press conference? Did Brian Flores win the press conference?
I could tell you firsthand, the Brian Flores press conference was, oh my God, it's another Patriots light situation. And then as his first season went on, like, he settled into becoming more of like himself. And, you know, he was just very, I think, calculated with that first press conference. But he's never really going to win the press conference. I can tell you from having sat in on all the pressers for the Dolphins this year, my favorite thing was getting on and Flo, you know, within the first question, what kind of presser it's going to be. Because he does not hide his mood. If he's in a good mood, a bad mood. If he's in a good mood, he's joking with the reporters. He's making cracks with guys that he knows personally. If he's in a bad mood, do not ask the wrong question.
So he's trained the media. Nicely done, Coach.
Yes, yes.
Nicely done.
All right, we'll get a couple more in here. This one from Sebastian, I think, is a good one. Would you rather have Kyle Trask or Dwayne Haskins be your franchise quarterback?
Haskins.
Do you want me to just play it?
Kyle. So do you have the poop hat?
Somewhere in a box.
Oh, come on, Joe.
Listen, I think my house is 20% set up right now.
We did you a solid by getting you off mock for Sunday. So the least you can do this weekend is go through your boxes and find the poop hat for us, because I need it in this situation.
I'll try.
I'm not picking.
Haskins. I pick Haskins.
I'm not picking.
All right, I'll play it for you then, Kyle.
No,
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
That'll speak for Kyle moving forward. All right, this one from Jackie. This one's Chiefs related. I've seen it a couple times. So don't worry, Jackie. I'll get it up here. Would you rather, as the Chiefs, have Vera Tucker and Creed Humphrey, or Nick Bolton and Nico Collins?
I want those offensive linemen.
Yeah, I think so too. Because Vera Tucker can play tackle or guard. Creed at center. That's what's scary about Kansas City, right? Is they're playing with like their B-list offensive line.
Mike Remmers at right tackle. They've been going through how many different left guards this year? You know,
Duvernay-Tardif's been, you know, opted out of the season.
Right.
They were supposed to have Kalichi Osemele,
right?
And he played like a game and was amazing. And then he got hurt the following game, so he's been out ever since.
Piecing it together, man. So
it's what an elite quarterback, though. That's why they say, you know, sacks are quarterback stat. Fun fact.
All right, this one here. Would you rather have Najee Harris in the first round or Ramondre Stevenson in the sixth round?
Nice job, Chris.
Thank you. You know what? I get a lot of names wrong. I was a little worried about this one, but Ramondre Stevenson, it was very good for me.
This dude's like 240. He's a big dude, Stevenson. Joe's going to tell you that he would rather have Stevenson in the sixth round because he just has, in principle, will refuse to pick a running back in the first round.
You can't if you pick a running back in either the first or second round, you are on a blacklist for Joe. Joe just doesn't like you as a general manager.
I like second round's okay.
You were mad at me every time we talk about the Jets. I'm like, oh, Najee Harris in the
brother, you know, you got like 85 needs
Yeah, it's the bottom of the barrel of what you need, Chris.
I wanted the Bills last year. I wanted Dobbins or Jake, John Taylor or Cam Akers. I wanted one of those guys. Kyle can tell you that. So I'm.
But you got Zach Moss at 76 or whatever it was.
Great in pass protection. Let me tell you, Zach Moss. Yeah.
Great in pass pro. It's exactly what you draft him for. Being great in pass pro. Is he gonna play? Is he done for the year? Oh, I know he got. Yeah.
He had surgery. Yeah, he's done.
Oh, okay.
Did you guys actually answer that question? Did I know? Okay.
Stevenson and six. Man. So let me ask you this, Joe. If I've picked 32 and I use it on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it's bad. But if I've picked 33 and I use it on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, suddenly you're okay with it.
It's a great point, Kyle. It's a great point.
32, yes. But if you're the Jets at pick 32, no.
No, 33. It's not in the first round anymore.
That's probably okay.
So one spot difference is like probably okay versus the devil.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's getting into like the gray area, right? We're not talking about pick 15 versus pick 55.
Yeah,
that's I don't think you should be that hard and fast on things like that. Yeah, so if you're going to take them at 33, then you should take them at 32.
Joe, who would you rather draft first? Would you rather draft a running back in the first round or a punter, an all-world punter in the first round?
Oh, this is like this take here. Running
back all day long.
From Thomas, would you rather draft a kicker in the second round or a punter in the third round?
I don't plan on punting very often.
That's
fun fact.
It's kind of coach speak I like, Joe.
I have sworn off Justin Tucker. Remember, yeah, remember that whole conversation? Remember that conversation we had about how Justin Tucker, I'd probably trade a two for him because he's on da-da-da-da-da? No.
So it's your fault. Justin. It's your fault.
I traded two for Jason Sanders.
You gave all his talent to Jason Sanders.
Yes. The mantle's been passed. Jason Sanders is the new unicorn of kickers.
It's pretty good to me, man.
All right. This one here. 4 1s for Watson or 840 and a 2022 first for Justin Fields.
4 1s for Watson.
Yeah, you take the guy who you know what he is in the NFL. This isn't hard.
Yeah, even me is like 4 1s for Watson. Thank you very much.
You've already given up two for Fields.
Right. And just four. Right. Just yeah, two more for Watson. Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, guys. Let me try to find one more good one here for us.
One good one.
I'm trying. I'm scrolling through here. I just can't wait for next week's show when we go into Joe's plan to fix the Saints.
I'm really gonna have to spend time.
You are.
Yeah, well, you brought
you're fired because you brought it on yourself.
Yeah, you brought this on yourself here.
I don't know if I asked for that. Whoever asked that question, hit me up in the DMs. We're gonna have to work this out together. I need some help. You mean my assistant GM?
All right. This one from Kyle the Commish. Would you rather be the offensive coordinator for the Dolphins, Vikings, Falcons, Titans, Eagles, Chargers, or Steelers? And we're thinking through the lens of the best to make the jump to head coach and also the best to turn around the quarterback this year. So you're coming into this situation, you have to fix the current quarterback, and if you do so and if you do a good job, it's probably going to get you on the short list to be a head coach in a year or two.
Okay, so Eagles are out, Steelers are out.
Vikings are out.
Titans are out. You have Tannehill at his peak. I'm not trying to have any decline there.
Yeah, if there's even a slight decline, it's going to be your fault. So now we're looking at Dolphins, Falcons, Chargers?
I don't want to mess with the Falcons. It's Dolphins or Chargers.
Then the answer is the Chargers.
Is it, though?
They have more in place from an entire offensive standpoint. You know, they're going to have a really good chance with their first two picks to draft two really good offensive linemen in a good offensive line class. They've got the skill players already in place. The Dolphins, you got to start from scratch with building around the rookie quarterback who had a less impressive season than Justin Herbert did in Los Angeles.
But that might be the reason to take that job. Because right, now I'm working from a base of if I make any sort of improvement, I'm looked at as the reason why this is working.
Yeah, you don't want to have a regression call with Herbert based on what he showed in the rookie year to year two. I'm going to Miami. Give me the aqua and orange.
Taking Los Angeles.
It's close, right? It's close between those two.
I agree, but if the lens of being a head coach to turn things around, like I have a better chance of doing that with Miami, I think.
Okay, and let me ask you this. because Miami actually won this past year, and the Chargers, they had to get hot late just to get to 7-9 or whatever they finished.
Yep.
There's a winning expectation in place while you're working with this house money of building up the infrastructure around you. You've got an easier floor to attain from a winning perspective, which will get you as much attention as anything in Los Angeles versus going to a 10-win team that's starting from scratch with their skill players.
But the thing I would say there is, as the offensive coordinator, the winning doesn't fall on me. It falls on the head coach, right? I can make Tua better, and if we lose close games because that's the way the ball, you know, the ball falls that week, I still can visibly make improvements with Tua week in and week out, right? So I think that I get what you're saying, and I think there's something there. But also, as the OC, it doesn't all fall on me to turn these into wins, right? There's some of that goes on the head coach,
I guess. Can we get one more?
Sure. Is there one in particular that you want up there?
Inside Lewin Martel at 803.
I was going to put that one up even if you said that you had another one in mind. Would you rather be a failed NFL GM for 4 years or be a TV draft analyst for 25 years?
I bet Kyle and I have different answers here.
I bet we do too.
I'd want to be a TV draft analyst for 25 years.
I want the real deal. I'd want to run a team.
But that's also that plays into our initial goals when we got into this work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. And even if I'm a failed NFL GM for 4 years, that experience and that, you know, I can parlay that into careers after being in a front office. But I would absolutely want the challenge of constructing and managing a team.
You could do both. I mean, if you're a failed NFL GM, you probably can then turn that into a TV draft. All right. I want both.
There you go. Welcome.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. It'd be fun for 4 years to be able to actually, you know, we spent a lot of takes on this show about how we would do things. Yeah. I think actually being able to be the person to make the decisions would be pretty fun.
You have to cut people though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, come have a seat. I've fired people in my life. You know what I mean? For like regular jobs, but crushing people's dreams.
Yeah, in the NFL, that's got to be tough. That's got to be tough.
Kyle, you're so tactful, though. I think you do well with it.
I try.
People don't know about Kyle. He's got a lot of good tact about
him. Kyle's staff would be really good. Kyle would have the right people around him.
It's going to suck when he fails, though, because that was the caveat. He's a
failed GM. I'd probably pick the wrong quarterback. You know, I'd pick Trubisky or something like that. And I'd pick Rosen. Those were guys I didn't have either one of them as QB1s, but I liked them both. So
those were two of my QB1s. So thank you. Yeah.
Deshaun.
Right.
And that's why Deshaun has to be not a New York Jet.
Kyle, I remember when you and I used to argue when I hosted a local radio show and I was driving the Trubisky bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, no, Chris. Every week you were like, no, Chris. No, not there.
And it's funny because I loved Trubisky as a prospect.
You were first on Trubisky.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason I think why I liked him so much, because I watched the Florida State game and I'm like, I'm in. You know, he's got all the tools, small sample size. Kyle the commish, hey, if you picked Trubisky 4 years ago, you still have your job. How does Pace still have a job? I thought Pace did a fair enough job aside of the tight end room and aside of picking Mitchell Trubisky. You know, they did some nice things with that roster. Really good defense. Allen Robinson coming into town. Quarterback makes or breaks it. Any other thoughts?
No, I'm good.
I hope Paige wasn't watching for that.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think we're
although
good.
I defended Ryan's honor and Mitch's honor, so I think she'd be pleased enough with that. We're done here. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino, Chris, Shuby Schubert, The Draft Dudes live every Monday and Thursday nights on YouTube. Hit subscribe. If you're listening on Friday on the podcast feed, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast. Thanks, as always, for checking in. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Go Chiefs.